Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Zevachim Daf Dalet, Zevachim 4. And our Gemara is discussing the concept that a carbon must be brought l'shem balim. This is something that the Mishnah on Daf Mem Vavam Abayis is going to discuss, that an offering, when it's brought, must be brought for the purpose of the owner for whom you're trying to achieve atonement. And if that is not the intent of the offering, then this person must bring another offering, and it cannot be brought on the condition to achieve atonement for a different person who's not the one who's really bringing the offering. So the Kohen who brings the offering and sprinkles the blood on the altar must have intent for that person, for the right purpose. And so the Gemara asks, well, what is the source for this idea? We've already found in our Gemara the source for the idea that it must be brought for this specific offering and not for a different offering. But what is the source for the idea that it has to be brought in mind for this specific purpose, for this specific person, which is what we call Shinoi Balim? So says Rav Pinchas, the son of Rav Ami, there's a verse, and the verse with respect to the Thanksgiving offering in Leviticus chapter 7, verse 15 states, Uvasar Zevach Todah Shlamav, and the flesh of the Thanksgiving offering is its Shlamav, meaning to say, the Zevach is the action of the offering. And the intent of the verse is to say that the purpose of the offering has to be for the purpose of the Thanksgiving offering. But we don't need the verse to tell us that if it's a Thanksgiving offering, it needs to be brought for the purpose of the Thanksgiving offering, because we've already learned that out from a different verse, from the verse Vim Zevach Shlamim, from the verse that says that it is specifically brought for the shlamim is when it's kosher. So therefore, if it is not needed for that purpose, says our Gemara, im eino inyan hushinoi kodesh, if it's not for the purpose to teach us that an offering must be brought for the purpose of that specific offering, then what we do is we have a Talmudic principle that we can apply it in a different area. And so we say, tineo inyan hushinoi balim. So therefore, we can apply it to teach us this concept of shinoi balim, that once it is brought for a specific owner, that is what the intent needs to be for that owner, and not for a different purpose. And so that is the proof for the Gemara says that for the concept of the idea that an offering that is brought must have in mind that specific owner and not a different owner. So this idea of our Gemara that Shinoi Balim, if the offering is not brought with that owner in mind, then it's not going to allow the sacrifice to be efficacious, and you need to bring it again in order to achieve that atonement. This idea applies by an individual offering, but our Gemara also explains that this intent on the part of the Kohen is not necessary as it relates to a communal offering, because if the Kohen, when he brings it, will have in mind by a communal offering for another Jew and not for that specific Jew, that's not going to be considered Shinoi Balim. That's not going to be considered to be a change in the owner, because if it's a communal offering, like a Korban Musaf, like the Musaf offering, which is brought on Shabbat afternoon for the entire community, all of the Jewish people are considered to be the recipients of the intent of that offering. And so therefore, even if he has in mind one Jew and not another Jew, everybody is going to be included in that offering, and so that will not invalidate it. And so too, if the Kohen has in mind to bring this offering, not for a Jew, but for the sake of somebody who's not of the Jewish faith, that also will not invalidate the Korban, because the offering will only be invalidated if the Kohen will have in mind somebody who is technically capable of that offering being brought on their behalf. And so therefore, if the Kohen has in mind for a communal offering that it be brought for somebody who is not of the Jewish faith, that also is not enough to invalidate it, because somebody who is not of the Jewish faith does not fall within the rubric of the communal offering. And so we see from here, say the poskim, that there is nobody from the Jewish people who is not fitting within the concept of a communal offering. Everybody is included with it in this concept of a communal offering, and as a result of this, we learn from here a very important concept concepts as it relates to the Musaf prayer today, which is something which is replacing the communal offerings that used to be brought. And today these are our Musaf prayers, something that is representing the entirety of the Jewish people. Unlike the personal amidas for, let's say, Shachrit or Minchah Marv, the Musaf prayer is something that represents the entirety of the Jewish people. And the Shut Amudei Or, he has the question, he raises the question, whether or not women are obligated in the Musaf prayer, which we say on Shabbat and Chagim. And on the one hand, we might want to argue that women are exempt from it. Why would we say that women are exempt from it? Well, for two reasons. One is because it's a time-bound positive commandment, and generally speaking, women are exempt from time-bound positive commandments. And the second reason is because the Musaf offering was paid for from the half shekel that everybody was required to give once a year to the temple. And so therefore, since women were not required to give this half shekel, and the communal offerings were taken for from the half shekel collection, so therefore, perhaps women are also not obligated in the communal offering. So, and therefore, they're not fulfilled as part of this communal offering. But the Amudei Or suggests, no, we know that the Levites were also exempt from having to give the half shekel. And yet we say that there was Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, who was a Levi, who prayed the Musaf service. And so we see from here that even though he was a Levi, he was obligated in the communal offering. And so as a consequence, we see that the fact that you don't bring a half shekel doesn't invalidate you from being responsible to bring a communal offering. And we see from here as a result that this would point to the fact that women are also obligated in the Musaf service, in the Musaf communal offering. And this teaches us an important point, that when everybody gathers in synagogues today and prays the communal Musaf prayer, this is something that's truly a prayer that reflects all of the people, not just individuals. This is something where every Jew, every person who comes to the synagogue as a Jew to pray to God is somebody that falls within the rubric of the communal prayer service, and that should be our intent as we pray.